hens been turned off. But this kind of thing is a, seems to be a regular occurrence where the town does not ask first. It just decides what you're thinking. We have letters from the town telling us, oh, your intentions with this building are XYZ, therefore you must PDQ. No one ever asked us our intentions when we were building our production winery. The town was calling it a banquet hall. I mean, this kind of stuff needs to stop. And the, what we were forced to do and how our winery had to have different things than anybody else's here, it's just not equal. This town should be equal. If we're going to have even more zoning rules that are used to pick and choose to enforce against some of us and not others of us, I don't understand what the point is. Law is supposed to be equal. Justice is supposed to be blind, right? And no one ever wanted to be in a place where one person was judge, jury, and executioner. That's all I have to say.
Hey, thanks for coming out. I appreciate it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Miller.
Oh, Jesus. I'll eat this fucking thing.
Watch it.
I'm always loud, but I promise I'm not here today to attack anyone personally. Just to address the deep constitutional concerns surrounding proposed local law number 2, and obviously a lot of other things. I live in Lockport, but my family still owns land here in Cambria. And my heart is with our farmers, our local businesses, and this entire community. This law doesn't just affect us here, it sets a troubling precedent of government overreach that could ripple across Niagara County and beyond. Let's start with the foundation, the 2021 Town Comprehensive Plan. A document that was adopted is our legal guide for growth and preservation. The plan pledges to preserve our rural and agricultural character, to protect farmland as a vital economic and cultural resource, and to support agriculture, agribusiness, and agritourism without placing undue burdens on our farmers. It calls for recognizing agriculture as the backbone of our local economy, safeguarding farmland for jobs and future generations, and encouraging young people to take up farming. To make this real, the plan mandates 2 specific committees. 1, an agricultural committee to review proposals like this one. And 2, a comprehensive plan implementation committee to ensure every decision aligns with these goals and to update the town comprehensive plan yearly. Neither committee has been formed. This isn't just an oversight. It's a direct violation of the procedures the town put in place over 4 years ago. Moving forward without them leaves our community vulnerable and undermines our constitutional republic. But it's not just about local rules. New York State Agriculture and Markets Law 305A offers strong protections for farm operations within Certified Agricultural District 7, where much of Cambria lies. It prohibits unreasonable restrictions unless there's a clear public health or safety concern. And the Commissioner of Agriculture can step in to overturn any local law that crosses that line. Proposed law number 2 raises the minimum farm size from 5 to 7 acres, imposes special permits on all small operations, and enforces a whole new slew of zoning enforcements. This sets the town up for a lawsuit is as likely to lose, costing taxpayers dearly. And let's be honest, there's no state mandate for a 7-acre minimum. The town has made this choice on its own. The people have heard the supervisor and town attorney call it just an administrative update in public hearings or updating to ag and market laws on the news, and that's misleading. We've seen this lack of transparency before with Forsyth Tavern. The town botched a liquor license vote back in July, refused a certificate of occupancy without cause, and lost in state Supreme Court in 2023 for illegally revoking permits, all of which hit our wallets. Yeah. This law risks repeating that costly pattern and also eroding whatever trust the town has left. The town of Cambria's Code of Ethics, established in 1930 under Chapter 10, is designed to keep our leaders accountable. It prohibits conflicts of interest, misuse of position to secure privileges, and any conduct that raises suspicion of breaching public trust. Yet we know board members own farms, farm stands, and agribusinesses, businesses that directly compete with the small operations now facing new restrictions under this law. That's a conflict staring us in the face, and a violation of the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause. And when the law's impact is downplayed as administrative in public hearings, it only deepens the distrust when the actual changes are revealed. The code requires a board of ethics to investigate these issues. If that board is incomplete or itself conflicted, especially since the board appoints its own ethics committee, and we also know there's family ties among some officials and employees, it means the town could be breaking its own ethics rule right now. But the town doesn't show you who is on the ethics board online. We need truth and transparency to restore trust. But that will never happen until we see accountability. And this law is exactly the opposite. It gives the town building inspector the ability to revoke permits without due process. That's a violation of the 14th Amendment. Threatening citizens with jail time over a new farm stand ordinance or not having your grass mowed. Apparently these other causes. I can submit cruel and unusual punishment for victimless crimes, you know, a violation of the 8th Amendment. Citizens avoiding public meetings because they're worried about retaliation, that's a violation of the 1st Amendment. So a call for accountability. This vote will confirm whether the town stands for transparency and constitutional rights. Don't pass this law, form these two committees, and if you can't fix this conflict of interest, resign. Because this is not something I trust.
Mary Branzel, please.
Thank you. It's great to see such a huge crowd here tonight. This is awesome. I came here from the city of North Tonawanda to have a better life. And I don't like living here right now. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't. I'm ashamed of what's happening. But in any event, under the guise that this local law is only instituting some administrative actions, aka putting them in e-codes, in reality it is much more than that. Changes to the code have the potential to affect every resident and taxpayer in this town. You had to have known that this was going to be a big deal. Perhaps it would have been beneficial for each of you to have scheduled office hours at Town Hall on different days at different times, so that residents could go to Town Hall and actually find someone there that we could talk to. I believe that there are too many additions and changes to this code which have not been thought through. There are also errors. I think that it would be in everyone's best interest to have a committee formed consisting of citizens across a wide range of demographics and occupations, and members of the town board. That committee should be able to make the necessary corrections to this code. A delay to vote, I believe, is warranted in this case. One such area for further scrutiny is the area of penalties for violations. This new law gives the building department policing power. Is this really what you want to spend their time on? Is this really what you think the taxpayer-funded salary should pay for? This is not what they should be doing. Looking for slip-ups by residents and business owners in order to punish them should not be their main responsibilities. They should be working to educate the public on building codes, not persecuting them for their mistakes. This department used to be run by men who showed compassion for the residents. They did their jobs with common sense. Duncan referenced Cliff Birch and Don, who were in the building department when I built my house. They were wonderful men. But this building department is no longer like that. What is the process for assessment of penalties? Is this process defined anywhere in the town code? What recourse do residents have against the accusations made against them by the building department? A likely result is more lawsuits against the town that you'll spend more taxpayer money on. I'm already concerned about the amount of taxpayer money that has been spent either as a plaintiff or as a defendant from somebody suing you. Spending on legal services will most likely go up above the ridiculous amounts that I'm sure have already been paid. So jail time was removed from the zoning ordinance in 2022. What made the board at that time determine that it shouldn't be included? Documented in the minutes of the February 10th, 2022 town board meeting, during the public hearing for that amending the zoning ordinance pertaining to penalties, an explanation was provided by Mr. Roberson, town attorney at that time. He stated that words such as conviction, imprisonment, and incarceration should be removed because they trigger certain rights of the defendant due to the Bail Reform Act. What has changed since then? What's the rationale for adding this back in now? We've heard of many examples of overreach from within the building department, and those examples weren't arbitrary. We've heard a lot about them tonight. Businesses seem to be the biggest target, yet now you're going after all, possibly all residents. Singling out certain members of our community for whatever reason is not only illegal, it's immoral. And it is discriminatory at its core. There is discrimination going on in this town. We all know that that's what's happened in the past. And when is it going to stop? You were elected by this town, but the billing department was not. Enough is enough. Please do the right thing and stand up for your constituents. Think about us for once. Businesses aren't going to come here and thrive. People aren't going to want to come here. And you're going to find fewer people being happy to live here.
David Edbauer.
I'm Dave Edbauer, 4715 Plank Road, and I agree with everything that's been said. I think the adding of criminal penalties just further adds a weapon to the zoning ordinances that I think have been proven not to be very helpful to the residents. The one thing I really would like to know is, usually when something like this goes through, there's a subcommittee that kind of helps put this all together. Usually a member of the board, maybe the supervisor and the attorney. And then there's usually discussion brought back to the general board on some of the decisions that were made. That is not available for the public to see what actually went on. I'm assuming it went on. You guys had to make decisions at the penalty level. So, you know, going forward, I would love to have that stuff put into the work meetings and discussed. I went to the work meeting today. Obviously, a lot went on this past month, and there was no discussion. I was hoping to see, like, some of the board members say, yeah, I think maybe we've gone too far. Maybe I didn't realize, you know, the 5 to 7 acres were kind of controversy, but there was no discussion. So I don't know where each and every one of you actually feel on these topics, and you may vote yes, you may vote no, but I'm not going to tell why, which is very important to me. So I would just encourage you guys to, on your vote tonight, if you vote, at least say why you're for or against it. I think that would be helpful come election time and having people know what they're voting for.
Jonathan Kraft. Jonathan Kraft. Okay, I guess we're going to move on. Joshua Newman.
Stands, it really doesn't matter what anyone says, my opinion, because they're going to do whatever they want no matter what. Unless the board changes, they're going to do whatever they want. We all know that. It's been going on for years. So my opinion would be an eye for an eye. Let's find out what businesses these people own, whether it's Sunflowers, and shut them down. Let's protest their business and shut them down. Spread the word. Sunflowers. What's that?
I said they tried that a couple years ago. Now she's on the board. She wants to be a bully.
Yeah, but if we don't show up to the Sunflowers.
Now listen, we're not going to attack.
I got the microphone, you don't.
Listen.
So it's our turn to shut down their businesses and let's do the homework.
We're not going to attack people by name.
He's out.
You really like control of everything, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but by reference, I didn't say
that. All right. Don't say their name.
So in general, we all know what to do now. An eye for an eye. It's our turn. So we know that nothing's going to change unless the board changes. So now let's do our part and...
We have a show of hands. Who in this audience supports this law that's going through? Just to give them an idea of what we're thinking.
Nobody. Nobody does.
Raise your hand if you support these new zoning changes.
But standing up on the board and knowing that you are not allowed to enter any of these businesses in Cambria has to be a rude awakening, knowing where you stand in this community and the people that you're supposed to be representing. And I just think it's time, an eye for an eye. Shut them down.
Okay, is there anybody that wants to speak that hasn't spoken? Okay, we'll get you next, ma'am.
She's on a different list, I think. This was for the agenda.
Roger and Eric, 3571 Lower Mountain. In 1775, the American Revolution started in response to the Stamp Act that imposed a tax for many printed items in the colonies that required using stamped paper supplied out of London. In addition, the Townshend Act attempted to tax and enforce compliance through additional regulations. The American people did not like this overbearing and overreaching rule imposed upon them without representation that was in line with their newly acquired freedoms. Eventually, the people went to war with those attempting to impose these new rules. For 8 years, they fought back against this oppression, and finally, in 1783, the people won. 30 years later, the Forsyth Tavern would be built in Warren's Corners, 3 years before the town of Cambria even existed. In the following 220 years, it endured many conflicts, wars, and attacks, but is still standing strong. Alas, the previous 220 years would not be the last conflict she would stand to fight. The attacks started again in 2017 when the tavern's new owners attempted to bring the tavern back to life and teach those of us living near and far the history that is so abundantly rich in this area. For unknown reasons, personal or private, out of spite, the town board and council have fought hard to prevent this gem from shining bright for all to see. With the family names of those sitting on the board today and in recent history, it's sad to see that in a mere 3 to 4 generations, they have lost sight of what this country and the town of Cambria once stood for. Your great and great grandparents once fought hard and enjoyed freedoms from oppression and overbearing laws that this town board is now actively imposing on all of Cambria, just like the British Empire once tried. They cannot win. We will not let them win. We, the people, decide how we want to live our lives and how we're governed, not those who abuse an elected position they now hold. If any member of the board sitting in front of us today can honestly stand up and deny that they have no knowledge of the history between the town and the tavern, shame on you for not knowing what's going on in our town and acting in the best interests of your constituents. If you are aware and choose to say or do nothing, you should just step down from your position as you were involved in collusion. It's 2025. Good old boys club and its mentality have no place here, especially in Cambria.
Woo!
Hi, my name is Ray Gorman. I'm at 4874 Upper Mountain Road. I moved here 21 years ago. When I picked Cambria, I looked at different areas and what was allowed for farming, not farming, horses. I had a horse in Ransomville, and I wanted more horses. So we moved from the city of Tonawanda and bought our house in Cambria. The previous owner to me bought land from my neighbor to be allowed to have horses on the property because you needed 5 acres. I have 5.5 acres. I don't want to have to get a variance to have my horses because I bought here because I could have them. I was a mounted deputy with the sheriff's office for 16 years, volunteered. Very proud of that. Right where I live on Upper Mountain, we have a lot of horses. Horses across the street. Some people call it Horse Row. We're very proud of what we do there. My neighbors have a big horse farm. They own a lot of land. There's things in this that will affect them. I just have my own personal horses. I love having them. I take very good care. I'm a widow of almost 4 years on Monday, and it's hard for me to keep up my property, but I do a very good job of it by myself, and I do a lot of the work myself. I don't want to have to ask for a variance. I don't want to have to fear that I can't say I have a horse property anymore because I don't have 7 acres. When I sell my house, I want it to be able to be sold as a horse farm because it increases the value of my property. And that's what I built it to be, a valuable horse farm. Just like you to take into consideration, just a little person like me, I don't sell anything, I don't farm, I just raise horses. I love them, they are my life. And you're gonna take that away from me? For what? Just to change a number? Like, you can say it's not gonna affect me as an animal owner, but down the road it's gonna affect me. I don't wanna have to apply for a variance, but say no to my variance. I might have a neighbor that moved from Williamsville, which I have now, and they're farming, but they might decide that they don't like my horse farm next to their house that's built farther back. But I was there first. Out of all the properties, my house was there first. And I want it to stay classified as a small horse farm with 5.5 acres.
Okay, is there anybody else that wants to speak?
Yes.
You're next.
So my name is James Durrell. I'm at 4958 Bear Road. I moved here 30 years ago. And I moved here 30 years ago because it was a different time. Okay. People were nicer. The town board was, I wouldn't say easy to deal with.
Accommodating.
You know, they weren't doing the kind of things that were taking away people's liberties. And I stand for liberty. When I find out that a bureaucrat has the power to put me in jail for a violation of a code on a piece of property, that's kind of scary. And you guys shouldn't be promoting that. That's not good. Okay. If these same people can come onto my property without me inviting them for any reason that they choose, that's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. This is not good. So I would ask the board, please think about what you're voting on. Think about what the people here have said today and take the constituents' comments into your heart and do not pass this vote that you're putting forth.
And then Mrs. Gossett comes next.
A woman over here that's waiting.
Okay. I think I found
Hi, my name is Jeanette Miller. I live at 5716 McKee Road. I live in Newfane. But when I started my journey in Newfane, I ended up in court and I had to fight for 5 years to farm on my own property on 70 acres of land in an agricultural district. And so I joined the Farm Bureau, and I've sat on every seat in the Farm Bureau. I see some Farm Bureau people here today. I don't know if they're going to speak on behalf for you farmers. I would hope so. I sat in the Vice President and the President's seat at Farm Bureau. And so during that, I worked a lot with Ag and Markets. I also sat on the state committees of Farm Bureau, and then I created my own organization to help protect farmers for a different right, but in farming. So anyway, I understand what the lawyer said, and he is correct in stating there is a part of Ag and Market laws that does talk about assessments, and that does require 7 acres of land. But that's not what their law is reflecting. It's too vague. You guys need to clarify that, because there's multiple parts of that Ag and Market law. And when you state 7 acres, I'm reading it right here, 7 acres, and then in accordance as described in 301 of New York Ag and Market Law, there's different parts of that. Clearly, your constituents need to know there's a difference, because your right to farm is protected by being in an agricultural district, and then you're protected by Ag and Market Law, and you can farm on any part, any little bit of land or not, and that's what's going to protect you. 7 acres has to do with if you want a tax assessment, and so you can get tax exemptions on parts of your buildings and stuff like this, and that comes with a requirement of making a certain amount of money on your farm. But you don't have to make money to be a farm. You live in a right to farm community. It is your right to farm on any part of your land that you want to, whether you're a homeowner like my friend over here, who I had to go to Cambria Court for years because he started a small farm on his house property. And as a Farm Bureau advocate, I lobby and I also do advocacy work, and I showed up to court. And I apologize for our person over here on behalf of them, because I had to miss things that had to do with my family and not as extreme as yours, but they should have apologized immediately for their predecessor. So I'm apologizing for them for you, because me and other people in this room had to go through it too. And they're going to put you through it. That's what's going to happen if you guys leave it vague. I'm going to end up in front of you guys, in front of your boards. You guys have seen me before. I know Matt. Right, and I've had to talk about different parts of farming, and there's other parts of farming that are coming in that you guys are going to be very upset with, which is cannabis farming. It's a protected agricultural crop now. I see that you're passing something about Connex boxes. Connex boxes are used for that, to keep it safe inside. It's also used in other parts of agricultural farming, so don't let them try to dupe you on trying to get rid of Connex boxes and other things that small farms can use that to do microgreens and other things on their small pieces of property to keep them out from being eyesores for the neighbors. But you guys are protected. Also, they can't come onto your property. So I know this, because my town building inspector is not allowed on my property. He said he was, he's not. Neither are the police. They have to have a warrant. You can stop them at your driveway. You can say, you are not welcome on my property. If that building inspector or constable enters your property, call the other police. If it's a sheriff and you don't want them there, and they try to come in and pull a gun on you in your own driveway like happened to me, will you call the police and you tell them to remove that police officer from your driveway? And now they have to call you from the end of your driveway to come in. You have rights. What you don't know is what exactly they are, and it's to make sure you're protecting your land and your property. They don't have a right to come in there. They can make an appointment. If you let them in, you let them in. It's like letting in a cop without a warrant, right? Just know your rights. You guys have to make this more clear. You tried to make it clear, I heard you, as a lawyer, say, this only has to do with tax law. But that's not what we're hearing, because there's a room full of people here, and they don't trust you. And I don't trust you guys, because I had to go through it, and I didn't even live in this town, right? And I've been, so, make it clear. Also, oh, sorry, one more thing. New York State requires an SAP, under SAPA, SAPA, that there is comment periods for laws to be made. Usually 30 days or 60 days. They print them on a register. They have the people make comments on them. They go back and they vote about them. They bring in committees, like they said. So I love that small towns think they're above and beyond the law, but if New York State has certain procedures and they want to do the procedures that New York State does, then they should probably follow the SAPA and make sure that we're posting what we're going to do. Then we put out a comment period. Then we revise the comments from our constituents. And then we might have another comment period after we make revisions. And then we pass laws.
Anybody else that wants to speak? We got a bunch. Oh, Shane's next. That's right. I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm Shane Gustafson. I own a Gustafson Winery on 4515 Bear Road. And I had a big speech, but everyone's already covered everything that I had in my speech. Was basically transparency, equally treating everyone the same, and forming a committee to revise what we've all got to listen to for a very long time that needs revision, obviously. If we're using the sign-in sheet, which I think was for comments, but if we're using that for today, I just say about 100 people walked in after me, never got to take the sheet. I actually had the sheet taken away from me while I was saying the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you'll notice, my name's there, but not my address. Anyway, I'm just going to talk about a personal experience that I had with the town, which just highlights one issue, which was I actually owned a 7-acre lot across from my property. I should be able to do just about any of the things that we talked about on it. I actually received a cease and desist based on an April Fool's Day post that was made by my business and was told that I was not allowed to farm on that property with animals. I was not allowed to do any animal husbandry or anything of that nature. That was a safe 7-acre lot. So I just wanted to give that simple example of how the people are being treated differently in different areas, and that it is an ag residential zone.
This gentleman in the back is very patient. Let's get him the mic.
Evening, everybody. I don't think there's anybody in this room who knows who I am. Is there anybody here that knows me? Not one single person. I moved out here about a year and a half ago from California. Northern California, we had a 500-acre ranch. We had 140 acres up in Oregon, a cattle ranch up there. I got to tell you, I moved out here to run an aerospace company. And when I moved out here, I rented a house out there on Freedom Run. And lived there for 3 months looking for somewhere to buy. I bought 8.4 acres out here in Cambria because I liked it. I liked the area. I liked the people. And I've been to a couple town hall meetings. One of them was a constable meeting. And I got to tell you, you folks got to listen to the people. You got to listen to the people here. It's a charming area. People love it. Got a bunch of people here not liking what's going on. You got to listen to the people here, all right? They changed California, and I don't want to see this place change. It's a nice area to keep it that way.
Anyone else want to speak? Over here?
Shirley Earle, 44 43 North Ridge Road in Cambria, and we put there, I've lived there all my life. Our family bought the place back in, I think it was 1913 or something like that. And it's a farm, and it's been a working farm all that time. I think the thing I take away from this meeting tonight more than anything else is that there's a lack of understanding and communication between the town and the board and the things that are going on. I sat on the Wilson School Board for 17 years, and I was a county legislator for 7 years. Rich, I remember some of the things we got into. I think more than anything else. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That better?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think more than anything else, I take away from this that anyone who is on the board or is elected better be prepared to hit the streets, because you need to get out there and talk to people. You need to have town meetings that are not just the meetings that you have every month. I know sometimes you walk into the town meetings and don't get that warm and fuzzy feeling that you'd like to have. And I think you need to spend more time with the constituents. Okay, thank you. That's all I have to say.
Anybody else? Yes.
Hi, I'm Karen Krasinski. I live at 4643 Saunders Settlement Road. I have a garden. I'm not a farmer. I'm a girl that's from the city. I've been at my home for 25 years. And as you can see, I'm against solar. I know that has nothing to do with what you're talking about right now, but I want to bring this to your attention because it's important. I went to get my mail the other day, and this was all across the front of the property across the street from me. and it says, redesignated lowland. The property right across the street from me has always gotten hay. I know that at one point, the Wasics planted timothy grass, so the hay is good hay. And I'm not sure, but I think that Mr. Oldholt owns the property. If this has anything to do with the solar panels coming in, I want everybody to be aware of it. The reason, if you can see the grass, I have this, is the town came and cut the grass down along the ditch. So it was no longer on the grass. I didn't take it from where they put it. This was all laying down and had been cut. But I want you to be aware that somebody redesignated that farm that has the hay to be lowlands. It's never been wet. And I don't know if it's significant or not for the solar, but I want everybody to be aware of it. And that's all I have.
Sammy, we got a couple bands here.
Are we still on number two?
Yes.
Yep. 10 items of agenda? And the vote is tonight or what?
Everybody has a chance to speak.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Alex Wasiewicz, and I actually live two doors down. I was afraid to talk because I am afraid of retribution because I love where I live. But I see all these people behind me and not a single person is on board with what you're doing. And I see names on the name tags of the board members and I know that these are farming names. We're a right to farm community and what you're proposing, it goes against everything that Cambridge stands for. I moved here because I love the farming community. I came from Williamsville. I came from all the built up areas and now it feels like we're losing our rights to do those things. So all I really have to say is keep Cambria, Cambria.
Hi, my name is Taylor Newman. This has gone on for way too long. I was 9 years old when this started. I'm a freshman in college. And my mom, when I was leaving home, she told me, don't get arrested. That is the amount of fear that my mom has for me coming here. And my sister, who's from Italy, didn't want to come because she's scared of getting arrested and deported. Just want to reiterate that.
Anybody else? Any comments from the board? You got somebody? Okay.
Yeah, quick question. Where's our town supervisor? That was never answered.
We're going to get to that later in the meeting.
My name is Barbara Nagel. I live at 5143 Shrenpike Road. If anybody was at the last meeting, I spoke at the very end because I get so darn nervous about this. But my family has been at Warren's Corners in Lockport for over 125 years. We had a big farm there, and we never had these kind of problems. But at any rate, the other thing I wanted to say was this past week I found out that my family was related to the Warrens. I am a first cousin, two times removed from Elmer Warren. Not that it makes any difference, but hey, I'm here. And I am very, very disappointed in the town board for not getting together with the Forsyth people, like you promised, like the supervisor promised. Maybe you guys didn't. I can't remember every one of you that was at that last meeting. But if you're going to promise you're going to do something, you should do it. And if not, why don't we know it? And why don't we know why the supervisor isn't here now? This, I said it last time, this is ridiculous. You guys have got to start talking with each other and with the community. You're listening to everything, but you're not giving any answers.
Yeah.
Why did these things come up? Why now is it 7 acres instead of 5 that they need? I don't know all the small stuff. I really don't. I'm sorry about this. But start talking and start doing it now. This is what your town wants you to do. Please do it. Thank you.
Gentleman in the back.
Hi, my name is Tyler. I live at 3571 Lower Mountain Road. I grew up in Lockport, moved here about 10 years ago. Honestly, I enjoy living in Cambria. You know, everyone gets to farm, they get to do their own thing. And I do think that the board that is in front of us tonight is not very transparent with its citizens. I think that they are scheming, conniving, and there is some shadiness happening. And I think that we, the people of Cambria, we need to stand up for ourselves. And how much time do I have left?
4:54.
Okay, my name is Tyler Mayers, and I'm donating the rest of my time back to this lovely lady who was cut off without a timer.
I don't have much to say, but since I'm being given an opportunity, please vote for Charlotte Patterson for town board in November as a write-in. I will be campaigning. I'm not listening now. I'll take the opportunity. Thank you so much.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Okay, is there any comments from the town board? Okay, at this time, I close the public hearing on local law number 2. Next up on the docket is the public hearing on local law number 3, Connex boxes.
I need your microphone.
Sorry.
Notice is hereby given that a public hearing will be held by the town board of the town of Cambria on the 14th day of August 2025 at the town hall, which was sent to the newspaper as a correction, on the adoption of the proposed local law entitled Amendment to the Code. No, that's the wrong one. Connex boxes. I know, I have that. Do you have it in front of you? I just have that. Do you have it in front of you? The public hearing notice? That's not it.
Oh, that's not it either. Oh, that's a super. I should have it.
Sorry. The notice is hereby given that a public hearing will be held by the town board of the town of Cambria on the 14th day of August 2025 for the adoption of proposed local law entitled Amendment to the Code of the Town of Cambria concerning Connex boxes, an abstract which is as follows. A said local law would add a definition of Connex boxes to the zoning provisions of the town code and prohibit the non-temporary use of Connex boxes within certain zoning districts. The complete text of said proposed law is on file in the office of the town clerk and is available for the review by any interested person during business hours. At such public hearing, all persons interested will be heard.
Okay, so Linda Smith.
Just ask if anybody wants to.
Okay. Shirley Hurdle.
Just
Maybe just ask. Okay. I think they...
Okay, is there anybody that wants to speak on the Connex boxes?
There's one in the back, too.
First, was there an explanation on why we're banning Connex boxes? That I need to know why the town decided this?
The reason for the non-temporary use, so not if you're moving that thing, when it's obviously not there on a temporary basis, the building department's concerned with that it's being used as a structure. It doesn't have safety factors, like a way to open it. It's because it's being used across the town as a structure, which doesn't require an inspection order.
Is the structure going to be exempt from agricultural uses?
If it's protected agricultural activity, we have to.
It is absolutely a protected agricultural activity. Everybody, Connex boxes are a protected agricultural activity. They do not have to be moved, although they are movable. You can grow microgreens in them. You can do other types of cultivation in them. They are used to have a controlled climate, to keep out pests, to keep out deer or predators. They're also used in cannabis cultivation. They're used to help keep in the cannabis smell, to keep in the light so that they're not out overnight, like in a greenhouse where lights will be out and bothering the neighbors. This is used for many different reasons, including what I just said. And it is, cannabis is an agricultural crop. It was just passed into law this year by Kathy Hochul. It was signed. It was something that we did. So it is a protected agricultural crop, so the town is aware. So make sure that we're treating them just like any other farmers, because I do have a property that I do farm at in Cambria that is a cannabis farm, and I don't expect to be bothered, and you will deal with me in the law, because I didn't have Newfane ruin my life and take away 5 years plus another 3 years and pretty much my chance to have children for me to be here now fighting the cause for cannabis and other farmers. So I won't deal with it. I will not. So nice to meet you. Maybe put that in there as an exemption under farms. Just take out the definition of farms.
There's somebody in the back.
My name is Robin Mackham. And many, many years ago, my great-great-grandfather actually settled San Juan. Okay? And I lived here most of my life, 80-plus years. And I've never seen so many problems in my entire life. This is a wonderful, wonderful community. I have been away for a while because my daughter married and moved out into the Barrie area. And so all my children could be together. I went there too. Now, I've come back because my husband wanted to die where we were married, on Town Line Road. And I was able to do that even at the age of 80-some years old. I moved 4 barns and 2 big houses, and I came back where he enjoyed being, where I enjoyed being, and where my forefathers enjoyed being. I was treated quite nicely by the building department. However, there was only one person on the plastic board that allowed me to keep the equipment that my husband and my son bled for. We couldn't get, even though the county allowed me to have a building 90 feet long, but because my 88 acres is near the college, which I gave 10 acres to the college when I started, they wouldn't let me have my board. I had to cut my barn, and I had to sell a number of the pieces that my husband and my son bled for. Now, I think that you all have to realize that there are people here that put their sweat and blood into the earth. And the earth is what the God darn Lord gave us to live on. Start thinking about it, okay? And make this a town that is happy to be farmers. We don't need
How many of you here are farmers? How many on this board is a farmer? You get out there in that work, and you work that ground, well, then you should be pleased to pray to that God giving it to you and make sure we continue to use it. You were the only one at the board that stood up tonight and brought something forward that was good. That's what we need. We don't need more laws. We got enough of laws. Let's stand up and be praising the Lord for what He has given us. Okay?
Roger Palmer. Roger Palmer.